On today's episode of the Hitman Podcast, Mo and I ring in 2021 talking about the NBA season. 2 weeks in and we already trying to figure out who's going to the championship. What's Kevin Durant looking like? What about LeBron and the Lakers? And how in the hell did the Clippers post a 50-point loss twice in the same week?
We also get into the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. 6 games on the slate. Can the Bills make a run to the Super Bowl? How about that Rams-Seahawks matchup? We also get into the Bears. Can they pull off the upset against the New Orleans Saints?
Quick hits, we talk about Canelo vacating a 160-pound title and what it means for the sport of boxing. LeBron in a $1 million photo lawsuit and Becky Hammond making history. No sneaker rundown this week, no fire on the slate, but we got a dope game show. And of course, we bring it in 2021 with the shout outs. Episode 32, Magic Johnson on the way. Let's do it. What's the deal? What's going on? We back in the saddle. This machine done got a mind of its own. But y'all know what's up. Y'all know what the deal is. Y'all kicking it with the homeboys, the Godcasters. Whenever you hit that MVP chant, you already know what's the deal. It's the most valuable podcast in the world. The Hitman Podcast. Chris checking in from Chicago, live and direct, straight back from Mexico. My brother, my partner, Mocho Cinco. What's the deal? Que pasa, papi? What's good?
Hola, senor. What's going on, bro? What's going on? What's going on, man? I almost wasn't coming back, man. It was feeling good out there, man. But first and foremost, Happy New Year, brother. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all our listeners, man. We made it to 2021. 2020 was a bitch, but we made it through. You know what I'm saying? It's 2021. And we starting off with a bang. Bang. We starting off with a bang, man. You know, I'm gonna get into my trip and everything, but bro, if you were listening to this podcast and you were watching what's going on today with, you know, these people going ahead and storming the Capitol building, if you look like myself or you look like my brother Chris,
I mean, if it was niggas though, you feel me?
If
it was
niggas, I'm just saying, if you look like us, just stay out of this. Stay out of this. And don't try that, what they're doing, because it will not be the same. This is what privilege is, and that's all I have to say. That is, you are watching what privilege is, and they have the privilege to do that. We do not. So don't go ahead and do that. Don't fall for that trick. Crazy times we're living in, but welcome to 2021. I hope that everybody's having, is going to have a prosperous, you know, very successful year. And with that being said, bro, I mean, how you doing, G?
I'm cool. We've been telling y'all since episode one, stay in the house, goofy. Y'all see what's going on out there in D.C. And then I don't know. I don't really know what to think, for real, for real. It's kind of maddening, but it's also funny at the same time. Meanwhile, man, folks at home can't tell whether they're getting that 2,000 or that 600. They just trying to make it through the week, let alone, you feel me?
You know, I feel it, bro. I feel it, Jay. It's one of them times where, you know, like I said before, it's just like this, the clock struck 12 and we went to 2021. That didn't mean that shit was changing, you know, and not to get too political. That's not what we're here for. We like to, you know, keep it light and talk about sports and the culture. But at the same time, we can't ignore what's going on in the world. So, you know, stay safe, stay in our house. I mean, I was out in Mexico.
Yeah, Tulum, let's talk about it. Let's get off into it. Hollywood.
No, just real quick, man. It was cool. It was a come on, man. With the music, bro.
Mucho Cinco.
you threw me off. But nah, man, it was cool, man. I tried to, first and foremost, try to stay safe. Had my mask on most of the time, but just wanted to get away. And, you know, went to Tulum. And that was a great experience, man. Just being basically in the middle of the jungle, just exploring. And exploring, eating good food, you know, good drinks. I couldn't complain. When I don't know if you've seen on my IG. if you know me, you know I can't swim worth a lick. I damn near killed myself on multiple occasions trying to learn how to swim.
No.
But, you know, faced my fears going into 2021 and, you know, jumped in the water off a cliff. Like, it's about, like, 25 feet. Yeah, it was crazy. But, bro, the craziest part about that is my life vest came off once I hit the water. And I didn't put that on the video because it was kind of, yeah, it was touch and go for a minute. But I made it. Made it out like a champ. And I'm here to tell my story about it. So, great trip. Great way to end the new year and bring in the new year. But we back now. So, you know, let's get to it, bro.
How did Osvaldo and Enrique treat you while you was out there?
Man.
Did you have to hustle your way through the holiday or what? Like, how many calves did you have to negotiate in Spanish?
You know what? Broken, man, Spanish. You know what? If being out there and being a cab driver is a hustle. You think Uber something, bro, they is racking up on people out there, dog. Like, I'm trying to negotiate in Spanish. Got my girl trying to negotiate because they charging, you know, $80 for a 5-minute ride. Like, nah, bro. Like, nah, we not going. But other than that, man, it was a cool vibe out there, honestly, G. The food was great. The people were great. People were nice. So, definitely going to go back. How did you bring in your new year?
Shout out to Tulum. You want to know how I brought mine in?
Yeah.
I brought mine in a hotel room quarantine for about 3-4 days, dog. That's how I brought mine.
Damn.
Yeah.
2020 for you.
Yeah, fam thought I was Big Poppy Posse. You feel me? I was at Jacksonville, Florida, out there for the Gator Bowl. Shout out to my boy Bobo. Shout out to Mike Kincaid. Mm-hmm. I took whatever they call it, it's a different type of test, different type of COVID test. So one of them was a POC, which is a 15-minute rapid test.
Right.
Bunch of people in the room getting tested at one time. Next thing you know, I come back with an aberration. So they go, yeah, more than likely, you have a COVID-19. And you know, black folks, we demonstrative, especially from Chicago. I wasn't like, oh.
What you mean I got COVID?
The fuck? Me? Who? Me? Nah, y'all need to shake that shit. Y'all need to shake it or put it in the microwave or something. Y'all need to retest me, man. Y'all need to do that again. Nah, that ain't me. Hell no.
You was on your recount shit, huh?
Yeah, damn right I was.
Okay.
So, you know, go through the whole protocol, word gets around the campfire, and have to answer all of these intake questions, this and that. But then they go, you know, we'll approve you for PCR, which is a 24-hour test,
right.
the one I usually take on a regular basis, right? So, boom, I take the test on, what is it, the 30th? Call it the 30th? 31st, the labs are closed, right?
Right.
So, of course, I'm not going to get my results until the 1st or even the 2nd. So, I was in a hotel room, man, order Ruth Chris up to the room. I felt like that was going to be the proper meal to bring in the new year. You know what I'm saying? I watched Wonder Woman, 1984. That was trash. Watched a bunch
damn.
Of
damn. It was trash?
Yeah, bro. It's good, good to look at, but as far as a movie is concerned, like, nah. You could pretty much watch it on mute and be straight.
Damn.
But
okay.
But yeah, man. Was chilling in the room and kind of find out one of the coworkers, one of the homies, who I thought was one of the homies, they done called into my job, said, yeah, they seen me running around the hotel. Apparently, I had a chick with me. I was eating pizza at the at the hotel bar. I'm like, so wait. I ordered Ruth Chris up to the room, and I'm from Chicago, and you from Chicago. You're pretty much a pizza snob. I pick, of all places, to order pizza and show my ass Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm out there with a chick, apparently, or valet, whatever you want to call it, a guest star. Who's keeping me company in the room while I'm on COVID watch. But, you know, like all things, you know, God is real. And, of course, my results, when they came back negative, I felt like, You remember when Antonio Brown got that call where he got released from the Raiders? That's how I felt.
Running around in the backyard acting like a damn fool.
Yeah, that was me in my hallway on the sixth floor for sure. Waking up all the neighbors. So, yeah, man, that's how I brought my New Year's in, safe and sound. But I don't have COVID. I've never had COVID. I test every week. I'm probably one of the safest individuals on this planet when it comes to that. I get my nose swabbed every 2-3 days, you feel me? So everything copacetic on that regard.
Hey, man, it's all good. Look, you made it 2021. You got your health. You got your wealth. You got your family. You know, you good, man. Yeah, you good, man. So, ain't look, to me, that's not a bad way to bring in the new year, especially with some Ruth Chris. So, I ain't mad at that.
Yeah, shout out to Ruth Chris. They held me down. I had a bunch of takeout, basically, for them 2-3 days. But it's all good, man. It's all good. The college football season's coming to an end. We about to shift gears right into the NBA. You feel me? Even though it's a shortened season. But 2021 is off to a pretty interesting start, I will say.
Interesting to say the least.
Interesting would probably be the best word. Wild.
This shit is wild already. I mean, damn. But yo, we here, man. So, you know, let's get the people what they want, man. Shout out to all the listeners. I hope that y'all made it into 2021 in a safe demeanor. I know there are people out, you know, celebrating and doing things of that nature. So hopefully you guys got tested, guys are negative, guys are getting back to the money, getting back to priorities, getting back to, you know, being better, being greater. And let's take this year and let's take it to the next level, man, for sure.
Yeah, sir, Ski, we appreciate y'all checking in with us. Make sure y'all continue to tap in each and every week. We everywhere that podcasts live, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and of course, the sponsor taking us into the new stratosphere, the new 2021, the new decade. Shout out to Anchor for holding us down. Mm-hmm. You ready to get off into the bands, bro?
Man, let's wait. Let's not wait.
that boy mine still back in Tulum.
Oh, well, you know how it is, man. You know when you go to, you know, you take a vacation from work for about a week or two and you come back and you forget all your passwords that you're supposed to log in with and shit like that. That's how I'm feeling right now. I'm stumbling over words. I'm saying things wrong. But no, we good, bro. So let's go. Let's get into it, G.
You still on Mexicali time. But with no further ado, let's get off into it. It's the Woo-Wop Jams. We're going to take it to the NBA. First 2 weeks in the can. We're going to make it real quick. We want to talk about the takeaways for the season, man. I know you was remote. I know you didn't really get a chance to check out anything, but what's what's catching your eye right now so far into the season?
You know, surprisingly, I was able to catch a couple things, but let's get into my surprises. And let's start in the Eastern Conference. So let's start there first. First and foremost, look at the 76ers. They're 6-1, leading the Eastern Conference. Joel Embiid, that Ben Simmons, that combination looks like it's good. Doc has got them well moving like a well-oiled machine.
Of course I do. But what did you think was going to happen when I came over from LA?
But look, but peep this though. There's a reason why they look good like this. They were able to dump Al Horford, get him away to OKC.
Straight.
They were able to go ahead and get rid of Josh Richardson and give him to Dallas, which that's working out for him.
Straight.
But getting away, giving those two additions away and then getting the likes of Seth Curry and Danny Green allowed them to open up that floor. Family, so if you watch them, yes, if you watch them on offense, that floor is spaced out now. So Ben can do his thing. Even though he doesn't really shoot jumpers still, he can still, you know, maneuver and get around and, you know, set up the teammates. Seth is allowing them, you know, to have a shooter, as well as Danny Green, if he could ever start hitting shots on a consistent basis. But the person who's benefiting the most from this that I've seen is Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris looks like he's earning every bit of that contract that he signed a couple years ago. He looks great on both ends. He's taking the ball. I seen him getting out on a break, pushing a break, making sure that, you know, teammates are fed, and he's eating too in the offense. So shout out to the Sixers. I know that they're playing good ball, and right now they definitely like the best team in the East. Who you looking at?
Surprisingly, man, Cleveland. The Cleveland Cavaliers have been doing their thing.
They have.
Colin Sexton, Garland, Andre Drummond. They're doing all of this. You know, Kevin Love is obviously still disgruntled, but they're doing all of this in spite of that. I don't know if they're flashing the pan or not, but they started out. They came out of the blocks, you know, throwing haymakers. So surprisingly, you know, that's not one of the teams that was on the list in terms of preseason or prognosticating who we thought was going to come out of the East or even have any type of impact outside of, you know, typical lottery pick, bottom of the barrel type of deal. The Nets doing what the Nets usually do. Orlando. And then obviously the talk of the league besides the Brooklyn Nets is the Atlanta Hawks in the East. So
right.
Those are my teams that have kind of surprised me out the gate.
Well, let me go back to Cleveland real quick. This ain't got nothing to do with basketball. But have you seen the nickname that they've given Colin Sexton and Darius Garland?
Wow.
I don't know if y'all seen this name. I seen it float around and I was like, huh?
The land, huh?
No, it's not called the land.
Oh, I know what it's called. I ain't saying that though. Not on these airways.
So I'm gonna say it. So I don't, because it needs to be said, because we need to put a stop to this. So apparently they've named a black court in Cleveland between Darius Garland and Colin Sexton Sexland. Pause, man. Go back to the drawing board. And I was asking you because I didn't know if you was the one that gave him that nickname since he's so good at the names. Hey, bro, you so good at the names and stuff. I don't know, bro. Somebody brought to my attention, too, that the nickname Moby Toppin is definitely pause worthy. And I didn't think about it until I heard it. You know, I'm going to just keep that quiet. But anywho, moving on. But the East, I was going to ask you, bro. We talked about the Sixers. You talked about the Cavs. The Hawks look good on offense. They look amazing. But let's get into it. What you think about the Nets, the new look Nets?
I mean, they're doing what I thought they would do out of the gate, for sure.
Okay.
And the crazy thing is, bro, funny thing is, I'm actually headed out to New York City next week to cover the Knicks and Nets game next week. But, you know, if you've been paying attention to what's been going on, Kevin Durant might not even be playing in that game by the time I get out there next week. I was really looking forward to that, seeing him live, you know, back in effect since the injury. Kind of giving a first person's report on, you know, how he's looking, but he is under COVID protocol right now. But besides that, man, the Nets have been doing their thing. They dropped a couple of them, but they look like they should look in terms of how they were listed on paper, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Durant, like you said, looked like he came in contact with somebody who may have had contracted COVID, so he's under COVID protocol. We'll miss the next four games. Now it'll be three because they played last night. Kyrie went off. They blew out the Utah Jazz. The Nets currently sit at 4-4. At the beginning of the season, the first two games, they looked absolutely unstoppable on offense. I know I came out and made a tweet saying that I don't think anybody would beat them in a seven-game series. It might have been a little bit premature, but I do believe that if they are clicking on all cylinders, the only team that could possibly see them is Milwaukee. Now, with the Nets, to me, the only downfall is they don't play any defense. But why am I surprised? Steve Nash is the coach. Mike D'Antoni is on that staff. And we know how they get down. Right. 8 seconds or less offense, but no defense. So in order for them to win games, they're going to have to play some defense. One thing that I've taken from that team and I'm looking and I've been watching is that Jared Allen needs to play more minutes.
Duh.
He needs to possibly be starting over DeAndre Jordan. That's something that may happen, may not happen, but he looks impressive. He's continuing his good play from the bubble and is just continuing into this season. He was absolutely dominating Rudy Gobert, the $200 million man, yesterday. Shout out to the Nets. They look good. Let's see what happens with them. The next team that I want to talk about that I'm actually excited about, the Chicago Bulls, man. Chicago Bulls look good. They sit at 4-4, currently on a two-game winning streak. And last night, down 20 to the Portland Trailblazers, come back and win the game. Zach LaVine looking like an all-star this year. You know, it's only been eight games, but he looks like he's on track to make to get an all-star nomination. Took over, was getting his team involved, and at the end, put the dagger in the Blazers with a nice ice, you know, cold-blooded three. Loving the way that they're playing. Billy Donovan has them playing scrappy. They play really scrappy on defense. They're getting after it. Not last year when you would see with Borland where they would quit. They were like visibly quitting on the court. This year, you see a new life being put into that team. I like Patrick Williams.
Who the fuck really is Patrick Williams?
He's a solid player. He's got all the
fun. Wait, who is that?
Bro, you're going to find out this year, G.
Who is that?
Patrick Williams.
Who?
Number four pick. The first pick for the Bulls this year that played from Florida State.
Anywho.
Right. You gonna know who he is. I'm a believer in him. He has all the tools. He can play defense. He looks sound on offense. He's just getting his feet wet. So excited to see, you know, what the Bulls can do this year. I'm not saying that they're making the playoffs or anything, but they're trending in the right direction and they're playing hard and they obviously like the coach that they're playing for. So that's half the battle right there.
Would you trade Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, and Wendell Carter for James Harden? And bring James Harden
absolutely
to Chicago.
No, hell no. Don't do that. You trading three people who actually want to play both sides of the ball for a dude that just wants to score 40 to 50 points a game. Not taking anything away from James Harden, but it's you like we talked about. When I've watched them this year too, and we'll get into Houston in a minute. But I just wouldn't trade three guys that bring value to the team and are building blocks to the future for somebody like James Harden, who is right now in the prime of his career, but in a couple years will be trending, you know, towards the backside of his career. So I wouldn't do that at all. Not at all.
Let's talk about Let's talk about the West side. Who you liking in the Western Conference 2 weeks into the season?
Man, I like the Suns, man. They look impressive. They sit at 5-2 right now. They lost the last game, but that Chris Paul addition to that team makes them look really tough, man. They look tough. Devin Booker's got a new confidence to him, even though he's always been confident. But now he can confidently go out there and, impose his will. DeAndre Ayton looks good. Mikal Bridges looks good. Like, that team, they are just building off of what they did in that bubble where they went 8-0. And it's just continuing into this season. Chris Paul has been clutch for them. They've been playing defense. I just like the way that this team is rolling. They should make the playoffs. So I am really impressed by the Suns. And then, of course, I'm going to be impressed by the Lakers and what they're doing there. But it's not necessarily the Lakers as a team. It's a specific player, and that's Dennis Schroeder. He's looked really, really comfortable being a starting point guard sitting next to LeBron, who we know dominates the ball and is the person who likes to get the offense. But Dennis Schroeder looks really good in that offense, man. He's a dog. I mean, I've been saying it. I think a lot of people been knew that, but now you can see it on the national stage playing for the Lakers that he's a guy that is going to give you fits, and he can get to the bucket whenever he wants to. He can get a shot off whenever he wants to, and that's a nice addition to put next to AD and LeBron. So those are my two standouts from the Western Conference right now.
So my two standouts, I'm actually going the opposite direction because I'm going to combine it. Surprising and standout. I'm surprised that these bums, the Clippers are standing out by blowing leads and getting blown out by 50 points in consecutive twice in a week. Meanwhile, they got a $500 million payroll and they got a bunch of chesty players out here talking shit about, oh, I'm about to be on their ass this season. And man,
hey, did you hear what he said after they got blown out by 50?
I'm not listening to nothing that clown ass dude says.
My man, he blamed it on being home for the holidays. Golly, Paul George, you are something else,
man.
You something else, dog. Like, just hoop. And honestly, like, he's been hooping this year, though. For all it's worth, Paul George has been hooping. The offense has been going through him like I would expect it to, because he is, to me, the more dynamic scorer between him and Kawhi. But they've been, it's early. It's early. They sit at 5-3. They lost to the Spurs last night. Paul George didn't play. Patty Mills hit 8 threes. I mean, you probably gonna lose a game like that. And they were down 20, by the way. They made it a close game. Kawhi missed the game tying three. So
they supposed to be, both of them are supposed to be defensive standouts. Kawhi Leonard is a defensive player of the year. We always talked about Paul George being raw talent when it comes to both sides of the ball, being one of the best two-way players in the game. And they giving up points like they going out of style, bro. They let the Mavericks score damn near 80 points on them in the first half the other night.
Yeah, that game against the Mavs was out of control.
And Luka's not playing well. That's the worst part about it. Luka's not playing well, and they don't have Porzingis. There's no excuse for that at all.
Well, does that make you believe that if Porzingis was there in the bubble for those last couple games, that the Mavericks would have beat the Clippers?
Oh, without a doubt. The Clippers are underachieving by all stretches of the imagination. My other standout in the opposite direction is Portland. They're losing games that I'm not sure if we're calling last season a fluke or inflated situation, but for all of the accolades and all of the praise that Dame Lillard is getting as of recent, the Trailblazers don't look like shit. They look like the worst team in the league, and rightfully so. Especially after letting Steph Curry go fucking galactic on them last weekend.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Portland Trailblazers. There's a couple things here with this dynamic that I think needs to be addressed with them. The first thing is, I don't know what Terry Stotts is doing. I don't know how he's wanting to play these rotations, but I have a problem with it. So you have Melo coming off the bench. He's embraced that role, right?
Back in the Braves.
You got Robert Covington. Melo's back in the Braves, but this ain't Denver, bro. you got Robert Covington and you got Derrick Jones Jr. starting, which should bolster your defense, right?
For sure.
From where they were at last year. But if you take a look at the ratings, they're the 29th rated defense in the league, meaning they're not playing any defense at all still.
To this day!
Now, part of that is that Terry Stotts in these rotations, if you notice, he's playing Carmelo Anthony and Enes Kanter in the same lineup. That can't happen. Those are literally two of the worst defenders in all of the NBA.
Right.
You cannot have them both in the same rotation. And you can't have – and look, what I'm saying is not a slight against Melo. I respect him. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. What he's done cannot be taken away. But at this stage of his career, he should not be playing more minutes than Gary Trent Jr. And that's a problem. And I think that they're still – they're kind of – you know, still off of that high of last year, in that bubble. Nurkic has not lived up to the hype. He played great in the bubble. He's not playing great
not
to start off
all.
The season. Melo just looks like a shell of himself, right? And now you have Gary Trent Jr., who should be cracking the rotation and playing heavy minutes. He's taking a backseat to Melo, who you have playing in the same lineup as Enes Kanter. So Terry Stotts has to take a look at what he's doing in that lineup, and he's got to shake some shit up. Also, we brought up this topic a long time ago when I said, should you split up these two? And when I said it,
yeah,
I said CJ and Dame. Should you split? It's early. But this might be the last year, if they can't get it together, that we see CJ and Dame Lillard playing together. It's not that they're weak together. It's not none of that. It's just the dynamic doesn't fit. The team that they're trying to put, the pieces that they're trying to put around them being the main guys, is not working. It's not equating to what Steph and Klay was able to do in Golden State. It's just not happening. So, they got to get it together and get it together quick.
If you're the Warriors, do you trade? Oh, I'm sorry. If you're the Trailblazers, do you call the Warriors and see what's up with Klay for CJ?
No, I don't. But. I just saw today, and I don't know how true this rumor is. I got to see who posted this. But apparently there's a rumor going around that Dame has went to the front office in Portland, and he is championing a trade from somebody on the Warriors, and it's not Klay Thompson. He's asking for them to trade for Draymond Green. Now, I don't know how true it is. I had to go look at my sources. I saw it come up and I was going to follow that. But then I saw people like, you know, breaking into the White House. So then I just stopped looking at what I was looking at. But if that's true, that's saying something. That's saying something. And it just leads me into my next topic of the team that I'm not disappointed in, but I'm interested in, which is the Golden State Warriors. They started off the season. They started off terrible. They looked like shit, actually. Getting blown out by 30. Steph was on the bench, towel over his head.
Looking crazy.
Looking like he's looking for some answers. Honestly, when Draymond came back to that team, I will give him his credit. When Draymond came back, he brought back like some knowledge, some smarts, some brains to that team. Because I was literally watching them. I was watching Oubre. I was watching all of those guys on that team playing with Steph Curry on the floor. And guess who they weren't looking for? Steph Curry.
Right.
I don't understand it. I'm like, bro, y'all, he's literally on the floor with y'all. He's literally the greatest shooter of all time. So I didn't look at the Warriors' early struggles as it was Steph not being able to lead a team. It was just like, this team is bad. They're just not good. And Draymond comes back and boom, Steph has a 62-point game against the Portland Trail Blazers, of course. You got to give Draymond credit, man. He's the heart and soul of that team. He's always been the heart and soul of that team. He has a very, very, very high IQ. I do believe that his offense at times when you know, against good teams, his offense is the thing that holds him back because teams literally just sit back and just let him shoot. And that can sometimes be a detriment to the team, but you can't take away all the things that he brings to that team at all.
The Warriors are not going to look the same come March. We all know that. I got a chance to check them out Christmas Day against the Bucks, and they don't look impressive to me at all. There's a lot of people that are making money just off of a name. Kelly Oubre, trash. Andrew Wiggins,
no, he ain't trash.
Trash.
No, that stopped there.
Check it out, bro.
Yeah.
Check it out, bro.
Kelly Oubre, that's one thing.
I watched Kelly
Andrew
Oubre.
Wiggins is.
I watched Kelly Oubre practice shooting for an hour straight, dog. He barely made. I could count on one hand how many shots he made, and then he got into the game and didn't make anything. That's not the Warriors' identity.
Yeah, he's been shooting absolutely terrible from the three, by the way.
That's not his bag at all. People don't bring him in to shoot threes. They bring him in to be rangy, to be explosive, to be athletic, and to defend. Kelly Oubre is not a shooter. He never has been. He wasn't a shooter at Kansas. He wasn't a shooter in Washington. He wasn't a shooter in Phoenix. So all of a sudden, you think that this fairy dust is just going to fall over you and sprinkle over you when you get to Golden State. Nah, that's not the case, big dog. Sorry.
No. Yeah, it don't work. It doesn't work that way. And I think that what he's doing is trying to play the Warriors style of basketball instead of imposing his style of basketball on the Warriors.
Yeah, do what you do best.
Just like
do
you said,
got you there in the
do what you do
place.
Best. Exactly. Like, play tough defense, defend 94 feet, right? Get out on a break, run, dunk on people. He's been catching bodies still. That's something that he's still doing. But, yeah, I think he's the worst three-point shooter percentage-wise in the league right now. Based on attempts. And so I don't think that's, you know, he has to get those threes in the flow of the offense. He can't be Klay Thompson. Nobody can be Klay Thompson. So don't try to go out and emulate Klay. Just play your game. But I really like James Wiseman. I like what
For
I've
sure.
been seeing from him. Yeah, I like what I've been seeing from him, man. That kid can play. He can play both sides of the floor. He can play defend. He can get the ball on a break. I haven't seen him go, you know, all the way on a break, full court. I like what he's going to bring into that team. And like I said, the Warriors, it's just a waiting process, man. Honestly, like this year, you can call it a wash, right? But when Klay comes back, yeah, it's going to be one. It's going to be one. So we can laugh right now. We can make our jokes. And I saw something about people like joking on Steph and saying that Dame Lillard was better than Steph and all these crazy things about Steph Curry. But let's stop it, man. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. Yeah, like, stop playing yourself. Steph Curry's the best shooter of all time. I know we saw what Dame did in a bubble, but imagine if Steph was there. Right. Mm. Best shooter of all time. He is the best, I will say, the best point guard in the league by position, if we just rank in position. He is the best point guard in the league. But let's stop with all the nonsense. I didn't even know that was a thing that people were doing, like, slandering him. I thought the team was bad, but Steph is... he's a made man. So let's stop with all that, you know, that dumb talk.
Like we said, 2021 started off very interesting. Some of y'all takes is very interesting indeed. Make sure y'all hit us up in the mailbag. Let us know how y'all feeling about the NBA season. The Hitman Podcast at gmail.com. Also hit us up on the IG at Mocho Cinco. You changed it up now, right?
Nah, it's still the same, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that.
At M-O _SAL1 at Labeled and Known. And of course, as always, at The Hitman Podcast. Let's talk some NFL. The season, regular season, just wrapped up. We got the playoff seasons. Playoffs begin this weekend. I'm actually getting up out of here after the podcast, headed down to Nashville for the wild card game. But let's get off into the season. Let's get off into the season, man. What game is up first?
That'll be the Colts versus the Buffalo Bills Saturday, 1:05 Eastern Standard Time.
Colts at 11-5, Bills at 13-3.
This is a good one, man. This is a good one. This is the, I want to say, this is 7-2 matchup, I want to say. This is going to be a really good game. You got Buffalo, who right now is the hottest team coming into the playoffs, in my opinion. They look like the best team overall coming into the playoffs. Josh Allen is coming into his own, man. He looks like a force to be reckoned with. Like, it's just crazy how last year he looked wild. Like, he would either sit back in the pocket and throw an interception, or he would run around like a chicken with his head cut off, right? And then get stripped for a fumble. But this year, much more calm, making the right reads. Stephon Diggs looks like an absolute animal. Yeah, Diggs is an absolute animal, man. Great season for him. That defense looks great. And so you go against the Colts, who have a top five defense as well. Phillip Rivers is proven as a veteran quarterback. It's just a good matchup all the way around, man. If I have to pick a winner of this one, I'm going to go with the Bills in a close one. They probably win this one by five. But this is going to be a great way to kick off the wild card, the super wild card, they call it, super wild card weekend.
Yeah, this is the first season where they had an extra seed, extra playoff team. So we're going to have wild card weekend pretty much all weekend, playoff games on Saturday and Sunday. For the Bills, they're going to be missing Cole Beasley. He's out. Stephon Diggs is questionable, as well as Isaiah McKenzie. They're both going to be game time decisions. The telltale sign is actually going to be on the side of the Colts. They're missing quite a few of their starters on defense, and they were pretty much a stout top 10 defense in the league this season. Again, you got the wily veteran, Phillip Rivers, probably one of the last of the old guard from 04 against, you know, what might be a future Hall of Famer in Josh Allen. The Bills haven't been in the playoffs in I don't know how long, and they haven't won a division in I don't know how long. It's always been ran and ruled by the Patriots. So Josh Allen looks like he's going to be the new king of the AFC East. I'm with you though, bro. I think Buffalo is going to take that next step, at least into the next round. And then depending on how the situation shakes out, they could find themselves, man, in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City.
Yeah, man. I like that, man. And then side note, just shout out to Buffalo, man. I seen they did a Bills Mafia commercial with my boy, Benny the Butcher.
What up, Butch?
You know what I'm saying? A little dope
Conway,
commercial.
What up, West Side? What's the deal, bro?
Yeah, man. They got the city behind them. I mean, you know, Bills Mafia, they travel well, and they were some of the best fans in the NFL anyway. Word. But, you know, for them to, you know, embrace the culture and do a commercial with Benny the Butcher to kind of, you know, bring them into the playoffs is pretty dope. So shout out to them. We'll see how that shakes out.
Other Saturday game, let's take it over to the NFC on Fox. 3:40 Central Time. The LA Rams head up north to Seattle, take on division rival Seattle Seahawks. Rams at 10-6, Seahawks at 12-4. Y'all already know the tale of the tape. Jared Goff against Russell Wilson. This is a pick'em for me, to be perfectly honest. We had the Seahawks, you know, clicking on all cylinders at the beginning of the season. DK Metcalf looked like he was all world, and Russell Wilson looked like he was going to be the MVP. And then you got the Rams, who kind of play the middle of the road all the way into a playoff berth. I said it a few episodes back. If the Cardinals weren't careful, they were going to let the Seahawks get, I mean, they were going to let the Rams get in there and take their spot. And sure enough, look what happened. We haven't talked about the Rams all season except for when Jansen was getting on us about giving them some respect.
Oh, yeah, man. actually had a talk with my bro the other day about the this game and just about the Rams in general. I think this is going to be probably the best game on Saturday. I'll talk about the next game we have next in the NFC, but I think this might be the best game. One, because it's a division matchup, right? Now, there's a couple factors in play. We don't know if Jared Goff is going to play or they're going to start John Wolford at quarterback. I am not against John Wolford anyway, because I saw in the game that he played last week, he's very mobile. He can move around in a pocket. He can make some things happen. He doesn't look like a scared quarterback. He doesn't look like a guy who, you know, is rattled. And against that Seattle defense, who, in my opinion, is kind of soft, he should be able to, you know, be able to still keep the ball moving and allow them to score. So that's going to be the main thing. If Goff is not playing, can the Rams get put up enough points to beat Seattle? Now, surprisingly, Seattle sits at 12-4, but the last 3 weeks, their offense has been off absolutely shit.
Trash.
Yeah, so they need to get it together. If there was ever a time for the Rams to play the Seahawks and clip and knock them off, it would be right now. Seattle is not clicking on all cylinders. And the Rams, their defense has been amazing coming down the stretch, man. Jalen Ramsey and them boys, Aaron Donald, I mean, if they can get after Russell Wilson and, you know, it's going to sound crazy, but if they can get after Russell Wilson and contain him, they have a chance. But we all know the X factor of this game is Russell Wilson. If Russell Wilson can get out of the pocket and he can use his feet and make plays out of the pocket, then it's going to be a long day for the Rams.
DK Metcalf versus Jalen Ramsey, who wins?
That's going to be a matchup. Now, based on what I've been seeing Ramsey do the last couple weeks, what I seen him do against D-Hop last week and what I've been seeing him do lately, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he'd be able to contain DK Metcalf. But that's a hard task, man. DK Metcalf is a problem and is going to be a problem in this league for years to come. But I will give the Rams a one up on that. I will give Jalen Ramsey the win in that battle. But I mean, Seattle still has Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, Chris Carson.
So let's not forget about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so don't forget about that, man. Tyler Lockett could easily put up 13 catches for 140 yards and a touchdown. So if I had to pick a winner in this matchup, I think the Seattle wins by a field goal.
I was just going to say that. It's going to be a field goal one way or the other. I can't really call it right now. I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams eke it out, but my heart says Seattle by a field goal. My head says if they're not careful, they're going to let the Rams sneak past them.
Yeah, this is easily, to me, the best game on Saturday.
We want time, though. Sunday matchup, let's get off into it. That seems to be the talk of the weekend. That seems to be the sexy pick. We want time. Yeah. What's the deal?
I love Chase Young. Let's go ahead. So wild card game, 8:15 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday night. The nightcap, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who sit at 11-5 against the Washington football team, who sit at 7-9, who won at NFC East in a very, very interesting way. Shout out to Doug Peterson and the Eagles for going ahead and crushing the dreams of the Giants. But yeah, that was before we get into this game.
Philly, what up? What's the deal?
How funny was that, bro? Like, I didn't even see it. I got off the plane and I was like on Twitter and I seen like Giants players getting retweeted. They were angry. And I got home and I saw that they had pulled the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. They pulled Jalen Hurts. In the fourth quarter, when the Eagles actually had a chance to beat the Redskins, I mean, not the Redskins, but the Washington football team, and put the Giants in the playoffs. Well, Doug Peterson decided like, nah, man, the Giants, I'm not letting y'all, you know what I'm saying, sway my decision. I'm going to pull Jalen Hurts. And if we win, we win. But if we lose, so what? And I don't know how to feel about that, bro. I don't know. Like, are you really competing if you doing that, especially in the fourth quarter, talking about you want to get the quarterback reps because he's been there for 4 years? I think that's a bunch of bullshit. Just be honest. If you knew you weren't going to the playoffs and you just want to pull your quarterback for the hell of it, just say that. But when you say you still, like you saying, I was trying to win the game, but you pull the quarterback that you picked in the first round, how are you trying to win?
You watch Better Call Saul? You watch Breaking Bad?
No. Surprisingly, no.
I was gonna say, Doug Peterson, don't he look like Saul Goodman to you?
He do kind of resemble him a little bit, though. I know Saul Goodman is, so he definitely resembles him. But like, yeah.
This has I don't want egg on my face written all over it. You married yourself to Carson Wentz. You went through the whole situation where you won the Super Bowl and you got credit for a lot of the stuff that you didn't deserve credit for. And now, after giving Wentz $100 million or on the cusp of giving him $100 million, he hasn't finished a season in the past 3 years. Right. So Jalen Hurts comes in, a rookie, right, and lights it up. Puts his head down, works hard, not to mention the fact that he's of a certain shade, but, you know, there's a lot of that going around today and in these past few weeks, but it has the notion of, yeah, I was wrong, or, you know, I went in the wrong direction, and I'm too proud to admit it, because they could have won that game. The Giants, I mean, that let's keep it real. The what is that? The NFC East division? That was up in the air all season. And you see the Washington football team backed into the playoffs at 7-9 when nobody even had them pegged to win it. At first we thought it was the Giants, then we thought it was gonna be the Cowboys, then Dak went down, and it was a pick'em for real, for real. So it's a head scratcher to me, but we spent too much time on the Eagles. What's important is whether or not Chase Young is gonna get what he really wants, what he really asked for.
Yeah, man.
They taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. Who do you give the edge to? It's on NBC, so you already know it's going to be prime time.
So I called the Rams-Seahawks the best game of, you know, Saturday. But this Washington-Tampa Bay game has the potential to definitely supersede that, right?
For sure.
And overtake that. For a couple of reasons. And the main one is Tom Brady, right? So Tom Brady, great year, 43 touchdowns. I mean, surpassed my expectations of what he was going to do in Tampa Bay, right? In his first year. Looked good. The team, you know, had a couple ups and downs, but, you know, finished 11-5 and in the playoffs. But when it comes to this matchup, it's interesting. All year, we've watched when they played the Bears, when he's played other teams that have defenses that can get after Tom Brady and make him move and make him fluster, they lose almost every time. Like, they have 5 losses. I can guarantee all 5 losses have been when they played against a defense that has got after Tom Brady. And that is going to happen because Chase Young is young and he's ready to come after Tom Brady. He is ready. He's want all the smoke. You've seen him asking for Tom Brady. He said he want that matchup. So that's going to come into play. If Chase Young and that front line at Washington can get to Tom Brady, it will make it an interesting game because Tom Brady cannot run out the pocket. He can't move. And you know, when sometimes he gets flustered, he throws these like weird interceptions. So that's going to be the tale of this game, really, is, you know, Chase Young in that front line against that offensive line of Tampa Bay. Now, also, Tampa Bay can't abandon a run. I don't know, for some time, like, over the season, there'll be games where they won't run the ball at all, and they just put the ball in Tom Brady's hands and tell him to go win the game. I don't think you can do that against Washington. You have to give the ball to Ronald Jones. You got to allow him to do his thing. I don't know if Leonard Fournette is playing, but you got to put the ball in their hands. You got to establish the run in this game.
They're not going to have a choice because that was a perfect segue. I was going to say the thing right now. The biggest question mark is the health of Mike Evans. He's been having knick-knack injuries all season, and he's questionable for the game coming up. Jason Pierre-Paul is also out, but when it comes to – and then starting linebacker Devin White is also out for the Buccaneers. So they're kind of – I don't know. I still got the Buccaneers winning. I've never really had faith in the Washington football team's offense this season. Yeah. I feel like those 7 wins – have come solely on the backs of Chase Young and that defense. But
give Alex Smith some credit.
I'm gonna definitely give him some credit where credit is due. But he only has 6 touchdown passes for the season, bro. So I'm not really looking to them to outscore the Buccaneers. And they're already dinged up with injuries, more so than the Buccaneers. If Mike Evans was 100% healthy, This would be no chance. I would be 100% in the Buccaneers corner, but he's questionable right now. I haven't really seen much from Antonio Brown. Gronkowski's obviously going to be the number one target. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But between him and Godwin,
you got Godwin, you got AB, you got weapons.
Talking Tom Brady, you already know what the deal is. You already know what time it is with that. He's gonna go back to the well. So that's why I say the responsibility is gonna rest on Gronkowski. I anticipate this being a real physical game. I love Chase Young's energy. I think he just secured him a Campbell's Chunky Chicken Soup commercial. You feel me? I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that in the summertime, but I still think that the Buccaneers are going to ride into the next round.
Yeah, man. Washington, like Alex Smith, you know, like you said, they only had 6 touchdowns, but he hasn't played that much. He's only played, I want to say he's played 5 games, but he's 4-1 in the games that he's played. But he's 4-1. But he's a game manager. So this is the point that I get at with this. Him being a game manager, when you have a team and an offense as explosive as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can be, how do you neutralize that? You put together long drives.
Yeah, you got to run the ball.
You keep the ball there, and you run the ball. So if Washington can establish long drives that end in touchdowns and keep the ball out of Tampa Bay's hands and limit the amount of possessions that they get, this could get really, really interesting. So, I'm tuned in to this game because it could go one of two ways. It could get ugly. Or it could be really good.
Yo, this is Dumba T Pongo, and you checking in with the Hitman Podcast.
Sunday, the second half of the Wild Card Weekend kicks off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to say about this one, man. Again, I'm on the early game, headed out to Nashville to check out the Baltimore Ravens against the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry finishing the season with 2,000 yards. Obviously, MVP candidate wire to wire. Let me get the round of applause. Salute to King Henry.
He is a beast, bro.
Well deserved.
He needed over 200 yards in that last game to get 2,000 yards, he got it with no problem, man. That dude is an absolute beast, and he should be. I mean, is he the MVP?
I would not so fast, my friend, but he's definitely in the conversation. I will say, though, Alabama's having a real good week. Shout out to the Tide.
Yeah, Alabama is having a great week. You know, got the Heisman winner. He's a Heisman winner himself. But, yeah, 105 Eastern time, Sunday, Baltimore Ravens at 11-5 against the Tennessee Titans at 11-5. Man, this is going to be a knock-em-out, drag-em type of game, man. It's going to be very physical. You know what Lamar and the boys from Baltimore bring, you know, with Derrick Henry and the boys from Tennessee is bringing, it's just gonna be a lot of, you know, smash mouth football, right? And who's gonna be better at what they, you know, the style of play that they play? I'm already looking at it, and I'm telling you, I'm taking Baltimore. They should never let them in the playoffs. Never. They were dead and out a few weeks ago. Lamar and them, they were dealing with all the COVID restrictions. People were sitting out. They couldn't practice for real, and then they won that game, and I forgot they were on national television. They won that game when Lamar got hurt and he came back and he threw the pass for a touchdown. I forgot exactly who they played.
Looking like Mike Vick.
Yeah, I forgot exactly who they played, but they won that game. And when they won that game, I came on here and said, be careful, they're the most dangerous team. You do not want to see them in the playoffs if they get there. And now they're here. And I have them beating Tennessee. I don't think that anybody wants to see Baltimore when it's win or go home, right? So everything's on the table. And I would rather have Lamar Jackson as my quarterback than Ryan Tannehill in these moments. Not to take anything away from Tennessee. But Baltimore, whatever they have, I mean, they just have the pieces in place to make Lamar look great in a game like this. If he can use his feet, if he can get out of the pocket and he can, you know, be Lamar Jackson, Vic 2.0, like we like to call him, I think that, you know, they win this game pretty comfortably.
I got the Tennessee Titans blowing the Baltimore Ravens out at the crib. I don't know what you talking about. You've been in Mexico with too many Mai Tais and margaritas on the head, bro.
Okay.
I got the Tennessee Titans rolling big. Willie Snead is out. Jimmy Smith is out. Yannick Ngakoue, who they just got in the trade earlier this season, is out. These are all starters, all impactful players. Lamar Jackson is leading the team in passing and in rushing with not much help from the running back committee. against Tennessee Titans defense, not to mention they don't even have the best running back on the field. We already know how that's going to go. The Tennessee Titans can change the pace up. Tannehill, if he gets it going with A.J. Brown, it could get ugly fast. I think that game is going to be it's going to be physical, but at the same time, it's going to be whatever Derrick Henry wants it to be. 9 times out of 10, the Tennessee Titans are going to move on to the next round with no problems.
Well, we'll see. I don't count them boys from Baltimore out, man. That's what they did this. They do this every year, and then all of a sudden they end up in the AFC Championship. So we'll see how it goes.
Man, we got potential to see one more week of Club Dub. Second game on Sunday, Chicago Bears headed down to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Saints on CBS. Bears at 8-8. The Saints at 12-4.
Huh. All right. So right now I want to
Saints
take the time
win. You ready to move on?
Nope. Let's actually talk about this. First and foremost, let me thank the Los Angeles Rams. Excuse me. I'm still in 2016.
That boy mine's still in Mexico.
Let me thank the Los Angeles Rams for letting us in the playoffs. Okay. We played the Packers last week and got embarrassed. That was fucking a shit show. If you have one game to win and you got to play the Packers to win a game at Soldier Field and you need a win, you don't come out and play like that. I don't know what the hell was going on. If it wasn't for the Rams, we'd be sitting at home right now. So I thank the Rams for that, for letting us in. Now that we're here, it's a whole new ball game. 8-8 means nothing. It's 0-0 now because it's a whole new season. With that being said, I believe, and shout out to my boy A. Will, because he said this. They show came out first. Their pod came out first. He said this, but I've already been saying this, and I have not put it out anywhere. I believe that the Bears are going to upset the New Orleans Saints. I just believe this. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why, bro. This is why they're going to upset them. Drew Brees is not the same Drew Brees that we've seen. Now, of course, they got Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Of course. Mind you.
But remember.
Michael Thomas is out. He's out on injury reserve. So, but you still got Kamara, though.
There you go. You got Kamara. Now, in that first matchup, remember, the Saints beat us in overtime. They shouldn't even won that game, but they beat us in overtime. Alvin Kamara didn't get loose until the end of that game. If we can contain Alvin Kamara and make life tough on Drew Brees, which we can, and our defense has to show up because the defense has been playing like shit for the last 4 weeks. If we can show up, Chuck Pagano, get that defense in order, and we show up and play like the defense that we know we can play like, we will make life tough on the New Orleans Saints. And honestly, with Bill Lazor calling those plays back there, our offense has not looked bad. It's just our defense has not matched our offense for the last 3 or 4 weeks, which is crazy to me. But if we can get a game where we can have both our offense playing well and our defense playing the way that it should be playing, we'll pull this one out in the Superdome in New Orleans, bro. I don't know. Something about this is telling me that the Bears are going to upset the Saints and it's going to be a start of a run. Call me stupid. Call me naive.
Stupid.
Yeah. Call me all of that. But I believe that we have the tools to beat the New Orleans Saints. And remember, the Saints also have a history of getting into the playoffs and letting teams that shouldn't beat them, beat them. Remember, Stephon Diggs and
Cowboys.
Everybody except the Cowboys. I mean, come on, man. It's the Cowboys we talking about. But, you know, it's the Cowboys we talking about. But think about it, man. I mean, they lost to the Rams, which was bogus because of that pass interference call a couple years ago. And they lost on that Stephon Diggs catch, which should have never happened, right? So they have a history of, like, when the game's on the line or it's a close game, to give it away. However it's given away. I just believe that, you know, we're going to be screaming Bear Down and we're going to be in Club Dub on Sunday. Something is telling me. I got a good feeling about this, Chris.
Do me a favor, Mocho Cinco.
What up?
Say the Bears win in Spanish.
Bear Down.
Saints going to win it.
I'll get back to you later on that.
Saints going to win it. Alvin Kamara going to go galactic on the Bears. Mitch Trubisky gonna have Forrest Gump face like usual.
And then come on, Biscuit. One game, Biscuit.
And then Chuck Pagano gonna get fired. Matt Nagy's probably getting the boot. Ryan Pace already got his.
Nope, he
back.
Not. Did you hear that? Did they keep him? And this is why I did not want the Bears to get in the playoffs. But since we're here, I gotta be optimistic. But you seen it? They're keeping Nagy. They are keeping unless they get absolutely embarrassed. Nagy's gonna be back next year. Now we don't know if Mitch is gonna be back, but Nagy's gonna be back. And so with this, they're kind of like still like, yo, this experiment is still working. I kind of think that the management is on the side of that. I don't know, because they made the playoffs. You know how teams are. It's fool's gold. They play with our emotions all year. We went 5-1 and then lost 6 straight. Like, and then ended up somehow turning into one of the best offensive teams in the NFL for 3 weeks. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But we here now.
Two players to keep your eye on this weekend are both on the defensive side for the Bears. Eddie Jackson, Akeem Hicks. Make sure you watch each
one
of
them. They got Akeem, bro. And watch.
He's been injured. Yes, he finally came back. He played the whole game against the Packers. I mean, what can you say? It's the Packers. It is what it is. But watch whether or not Eddie Jackson is going to show up. He's been wildly inconsistent all season long. The honeymoon phase is over. He came into the league focused and aggressive, and he's been missing tackles, missing assignments all season long. So watch the play of Akeem Hicks and watch the play of Eddie Jackson.
On offense, though.
Yo.
On offense, Darnell Mooney.
Big for sure. Play. Big surprise.
Big play threat. Let's watch Darnell. I've been saying I like this kid, man. I like Darnell Mooney. I like what he brings to the team. So if we can get him some plays out in the open field, allow him to be special, feed Allen Robinson, feed the beast, give it a steady diet of Montgomery. Hopefully we can break something in a running game. I'm telling you, Chris. I'm telling you, we might have a chance. Upset City, baby!
To finish out the wild card weekend on primetime, 7:15 Central Time, NBC, the Cleveland Browns, who got the COVID bug this week, they travel up to Pittsburgh to take on Division 4 Pittsburgh Steelers at 12-4, Browns at 11-5. They will be facing the Steelers without their head coach, Coach Stefanski, along with quite a few staffers and assistant coaches, tested positive for the coronavirus earlier this week. They shut down team facilities. Still no word as of today. We're recording this on January the 6th as to any progress or updates in regards to the Browns' condition. I think that that's just way too debilitating. I think that the Steelers are going to take advantage and they're going to make quick work of the Cleveland Browns this weekend, bro. But kudos to them for making the playoffs. I think it's the first time they made the playoffs in 18 years.
Yeah, kudos to the Browns. I can't call this. Now, if Juju is going to go out on the field and start dancing and shit, then I'm going to say that the Browns might win this game. But honestly, like all jokes aside, I can't call this game. The Browns look good, man. I don't know. Like, I know they don't have their coach. I know they're missing some players, but they should be fine. They should be fine. They, you know, you are who you are, and the Browns have proven all the doubters that they're a pretty good team.
Did you know Roethlisberger's not Steelers playing? I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you know Roethlisberger's not playing?
Roethlisberger's not playing.
As of right now, it's saying he's out.
Ben Roethlisberger's out of this game in the playoffs? Really? If that's true, then the Browns are going to win this game. No, Big Ben didn't play last week. Ben didn't play last week because he got some rest.
I definitely think he's going to be playing. I think.
Yeah. He was out last week because, you know, the Browns did play the Steelers last week, and he didn't play last week.
Right,
so Mason Rudolph started. He didn't play last week. Mason Rudolph started.
DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's questionable for the Browns as well. So
yeah, they got a lot stacked against them, but that's when this is when you see teams come together and they know that, you know, they're the underdog and they're behind the eight ball, and this is when you see some great performances. So I don't know how to call this, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have just not looked good, bro, over the last month and a half. They just don't look good at all. They're trying things. They're deep. The reason why they, honestly, is because the defense is amazing. They have an amazing defense. They don't allow a lot of points. And so their defense will be that saving grace if they win this game. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns pull this one off, man. But if you ask me to pick who would win this game, I'll take the Steelers by I'll take the Steelers in a close one. They win by, I would say they win by 8.
We already know the number one seeds are sitting out this week. In the NFC, it's the Green Bay Packers. They sold that up over the weekend. Paintbrushing the Bears. And then, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs on the AFC side of things. They sold the number one seed up maybe a week or two ago. Between those two teams, who's your MVP? With a gun to your head, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes?
You got to give it to Aaron Rodgers, man. Unbelievable season, bro. Unbelievable season by Aaron Rodgers. He's proven that, you know, it's hard to say. We definitely say Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers has something to say, and we got to listen. I mean, dude is amazing, bro. He makes it look very easy, just like Mahomes. They're in a class of their own, honestly, when you look at quarterbacks and what they're able to do. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. He proved he after last year, people wrote him off last year. He didn't even have a bad year compared to other quarterbacks. He didn't have a bad year, but they wrote him off as washed up, even to the point where the Packers took a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
Like, you know, and so he just, you know, follows that up by having one of his best seasons ever. You have to give him the MVP. I think that I was asking earlier, was Derrick Henry the MVP? But I think Derrick Henry comes in second place. 2,000 yards is not a small feat by any means. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers the MVP.
I think it's going to be Patrick Mahomes that edges him out. They got a better record. They got a higher seeding. They sold it up way earlier than the Packers did. Mind you, Aaron Rodgers did more with less, if I had to speak on that. But yep. Aaron Rodgers plays in a weaker division. He plays in a weaker conference overall, quite frankly.
You think so?
Yeah, most definitely. The
NFC is tough.
The AFC is light years far and away better than the NFC overall. If you look at the top three seeds in the AFC, you're talking Buffalo, you're talking Kansas City, and then you can pick it. It's either the Pittsburgh Steelers, Cleveland Browns, Indianapolis Colts. Any one of them can be in the NFC champ. I mean, the AFC championship. On the NFC side, the only team that I see coming out of the NFC is Green Bay. I don't see anybody else outside of the Rams kind of playing middle of the road to the Super Bowl. Nobody else is going to
be scared. Nah, bro, you can't say that. You can't say that. I mean, you can't say that. You can't say that, actually. You're entitled to your opinion. It's a sports show. But I will say the best conference, the best division in the NFL resides in the NFC. So with that being said, I don't see how the AFC is light years better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the Buffalo Bills are 13-3 this year, and they have a hell of a season. But if the Patriots were the Patriots, I mean, damn, the Patriots ran that division for 20 years.
You got Super Bowl contenders in every division in that conference, bro. Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Who's in the North? You could do
Pittsburgh.
Cleveland.
Pittsburgh is not a. I'm sorry. I'm not even trying to shit on Pittsburgh, but they're not a championship contender.
Bro,
in my
it's
opinion.
Not about your record. It's about who gets hot at the right time.
And they've been looking like trash. They've been lost their last four.
Bro, listen, bro. Listen to me, bro.
Go ahead.
It happens every year. It's never chalk, bro, except for Tom Brady. When it comes down to who's going to play Tom Brady, it's the team that gets hot at the right time. An 8-8 team can go to the Super Bowl this year from the NFC if the Packers are not careful. There's nobody else that's going. There's nobody else. I mean, I'm sorry, in the AFC, if the Chiefs aren't careful. There's nobody else that's coming out of the NFC going to the Super Bowl except for Green Bay. That's it.
Nah, you can't say that. You can.
I can. But, I did.
but bro, I'm just taking a look. I'm like, hold on. So you telling me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't have a chance? You telling me that the New Orleans Saints don't have? You telling me the New
against
Orleans
Green Bay?
Saints sitting
versus
at 12
Green Bay?
Four?
No.
Again, yes. Well, bro, I'm telling you right now, if the Saints play the Packers, the Saints are going to win. That defense is going to get after Aaron Rodgers. They're going to beat the Saints. They're going to beat the Saints, bro.
We're not talking. Look, I know football and football mean the same thing in Spanish, but we're not talking football as in soccer, bro. We're talking football Americano. You feel me?
So you have the Packers as the overwhelming favorite to come out the NFC.
1,000%.
Okay. We'll see how that goes. 1,000%. In your words, debatable.
I put some money on it. I put my Avi on it. If the Packers don't make it out of there, I'll change my Avi, my Twitter Avi, my Instagram Avi to whatever you want for the month.
All right, it's on wax now.
Hit us up in the mailbag, cool. The Hitman Podcast at gmail.com. Get Uncle Mocho Cinco some ideas if you for what the Avi need to be. I'm not doing LeBron though.
No, bro. You said what you said, bro. Don't renege now. You said what you said. Own up to it, bro. That's cool.
Before we get out of the NFL segment, let's talk about Black Monday. It just passed. Quite a few coaching openings happening. Gonna be available. A lot of assistants, a lot of college coaches being interviewed as the season winds down to an end. Big name on the market right now is Eric Bieniemy. He's obviously been a hot name. Kind of how Nagy and Nick Fangio were when things first came about from the Chiefs. That Chiefs coaching staff is getting looks. How the old Patriots regime used to look. But nevertheless, though, the openings for the season right now include the Houston Texans, the LA Chargers, the Atlanta Falcons, and, of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, rumors are that Urban Meyer has been linked to that franchise, reportedly seeking $12 million per year, which would probably make him the highest paid coach in the league. I know John Gruden's making 10 a year right now. But then that kind of was refuted and chalked up to rumors. The other thing is, obviously, Urban Meyer's health has always come into question when it came to staying or being with a team long term. But I don't know, man. Out of those openings, which one seems the most attractive to you? And which coach would you be looking to hire for that team? So pick a team and pick a prospective new head coach. I'm gonna make mine easy. I'm gonna go first because I want you to talk your talk. But for me, I think the LA Chargers opening is the best opening in the league right now. I think they're the most complete team out of the openings. Really good situation, sharing a brand new stadium with the Rams, obviously. And then you got something to work with in Justin Herbert. He set the NFL rookie record for passing yards and touchdowns this season. So that's a great starting point if you're a young head coach or you're an innovative, offensive-minded, quarterback-centric coach to come right into what looks like a ready-made situation and succeed out of the gate.
Yeah, I was going to go with that because he's going to be a great quarterback for years to come in this league. I think that, you know, that team, like you said, is primed and ready to go to the next level. Sad that Anthony Lynn got let go and wasn't able to see that through with him.
Right.
But yeah, that's going to be the most attractive job. Now, next, name the other teams again because I want to make sure I.
The Jets, the right Falcons, one. The Detroit Lions. That's all I need to know.
The next job I would take would be the Jaguars, for obvious reasons. Because if you're a coach, so normally with coaching, right, what happens is when you come into a new situation and there's a quarterback that's already been there, they're used to already the system that's in place, and then they have to learn a new system. And sometimes with that, you see that the quarterback play kind of goes down for a little bit. But whoever comes into that situation in Jacksonville knows that they're going to get Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, like, I love Justin Fields as well, but Justin Fields is not going number one.
What happened to your boy Trey? You was bigging him up a couple of weeks ago.
Trey Lance is going to end up in the right spot that's for him, but he ain't the number one pick. The number one pick is Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's just, I mean, we've been screaming that for a whole year. So, but if you're Urban Meyer, who's going to be interviewed by that position, that's the job that you want, because you're able to come in and now you're going to get a new quarterback. A lot of players are going to get, you know, you're going to be able to kind of tool that roster the way you want to, almost similar to how that Cleveland situation was, right? That Cleveland situation was terrible. They ended up getting Baker. They ended up getting all these new pieces, all these draft picks, and they were able to retool that roster. And now look at them. They're in the playoffs. So you look at Jacksonville as, you know, you're able to just kind of draw on a blank canvas. And if you're a good coach like Urban Meyer is, and I know there are going to be others, this is your chance to show and prove. I would like that Jacksonville job.
I don't know, man. Trevor Lawrence, his last two, I guess, big stage performances, he lost in the national championship, got blowed out by Joey Burrow, and then got blowed out by Justin Fields. You know, so on the biggest stages outside of winning the national championship his freshman year, that was probably the apex of his success at Clemson. And so I don't know. He's kind of running out of gas, if you will, in terms of elite, like, shoe-in candidates. Everybody had him pegged to win the Heisman, and that didn't happen. You know, a wide receiver won it for the first time since 1991 last night. So all of the hype, all of the luster around Trevor Lawrence is starting to fade a little bit for me, just for me in particular. I've seen him play live. He is a tough kid. He's very accurate. He's a gamer for sure when it comes to being focused and being in the game. He's not big on distractions, and he hasn't had much outside football issues. He hasn't been in the news for anything except for, you know, the coronavirus, obviously, which is beyond his control. But when it comes to rising to the occasion and you know, showing out when it comes to marquee matchups or elite quarterback play, he lost to Ian Book, he lost to Justin Fields, he lost to Joe Burrow. So when you're the shoe-in or the locked-in number one pick, the Heisman, all of that stuff, preseason, you can't you know, wilt in those moments, and I feel like he did. Travis Etienne definitely made a lot of money. He's going to get paid to play on Sundays, but Trevor Lawrence, I mean, it's not a bad pick. It's still, you know, you still should feel confident in the pick if you do go with Lawrence, but my thing is there, it's not as much of a lock as what people made it out to be for me in the beginning of the season versus now.
I believe it's a lock. I believe that if you take a look at that national championship game, I mean, not that championship game, but the game that they just played, Clemson versus Ohio State, that was all Dabo Swinney. That was his fault. Dabo Swinney went and kept poking the bear, which was Ohio State. He was giving them bulletin board material. He was just disrespected. He'd been disrespecting Ohio State for weeks. Didn't want them to be part of the college football playoff. Ranked them 11th out of all the teams. He just kept doing it, right? And yeah, I was like, yeah, Ohio State's beating Clemson. And they did. And I don't think it's because of Trevor Lawrence played bad. I mean, he threw a late pick, but he didn't play bad. I think that he has all the tools to be a great NFL quarterback. I don't think that, like, you know, I'm never calling a quarterback like the next Elway or the next, you know, how they, you know how they do this shit every year with these quarterbacks. I'm not doing that with him. But when you take a look at all the quarterbacks and you take a look at who, if Jacksonville needs a quarterback, who should they take? I just believe for what they're trying to do, Trevor Lawrence is going to be their guy. That's no slight to Justin Fields. That's no slight to Trey Lance or any of the quarterbacks that are coming out. You know, Zach Wilson, that's not a slight to any of those guys, because they'll end up in great situations as well. I just believe that Trevor Lawrence showed and proved that he has an arm. He can move out the pocket. He can do a few things with the football, and he'll be the first pick.
Quick correction, I forgot. He didn't lose to Ian Book. He was actually out that week. That's the reason they lost to Notre Dame.
Yeah, exactly. But,
yeah, my stance there, man. He probably will. More than likely, he's going to go number one, but again, it's not like unanimous, like I said. That's going to do it for the Woo Op the Bams for the week. Let's get off into these quick hits real quick. Canelo Alvarez has decided to vacate the 160-pound title, looking to move up to 168. Your thoughts on that real quick, bro?
It's cool. He can do that. He can do that. Canelo is, I mean, at 168, he already is a powerful puncher. He's just going to add more power at 168. I like it. Take the challenge. Can't wait to see what happens with that.
I'm ready to see the fights that we've been waiting on, because with him moving into that division now, that opens up a lot of doors for mega fights. Even though we're still in a COVID situation, people want to see big time boxing events. We don't have enough time to get off into the heavyweight debacle right now, but I like the way that the middleweights and the super middleweights are doing their thing. When you talk about Shakur Stevenson, Tank Davis, Terrence Crawford, the Charlo brothers, Earl Spence, And then, of course, Canelo doing his thing. And then we can't forget about Teofimo.
Yep.
I like the condition of that those classes at this point. But if I wish heavyweight was supposed to be that. It was on that way to be that. But I just wish that, you know, we would just have the sport of boxing at the forefront like it used to be. So we're going to keep an eye out on what's to come from that with Canelo vacating the title. This is an interesting story here. LeBron got caught up in a $1 million photo lawsuit. Steve Mitchell, a professional NBA photographer, spent 27 years capturing decisive moments on all levels of professional sports. And according to his website, he's a senior photojournalist whose photographs have appeared in major publications including Sports Illustrated and ESPN. Mitchell was suing LeBron after LeBron basically screen grabbed one of his photos. It's a picture of LeBron, I want to say either last season or the season before, dunking on Myers Leonard. It was a LA versus Miami game. He screenshotted it, put it out on his Instagram, and got over 10 million responses to it. And essentially was using it for branding purposes. Mitchell never received a dime from it. So he's suing LeBron and his companies, Uninterrupted Digital Ventures and LRMR Ventures LLC, both of which the complaint asserts operates James' Facebook page, the overall copyright infringement of the photo, and any residual from that photo.
All right, fam. I guess, bro. Like, I understand how these situations get, you know, these photographers and you be yourself being a photographer, you take your craft very seriously, right? You want to be compensated for your work, or you want to be acknowledged for your work, and rightfully so. Damn, $1 million though? I don't know. I'm not primed to speak on this. Cause I don't know if that's $1 million worth, like suing somebody for $1 million for using a photo. I see it all the time, because I don't know the hard work that it takes to capture some of these moments and some of these photos. I feel like I'm not the person to be speaking on this.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, for those that have locked in with us and know us outside of the podcast, I work in sports. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I mean, you need subject matter in order to produce content. Because if you wasn't in the games, or if LeBron wasn't playing, you wouldn't have anything to take pictures of. Now, in his defense, LeBron did file a countersuit, a $1 million countersuit to Mitchell for lawyer fees. I guess it's an aggravation fee. Like, bro, what the fuck?
Right. Now, I mean, bro, I'm coming from that side. But I'm like trying to understand the other side of it. Like, if you could help me bring me into that world as to why I would to see LeBron post my photo, and instead of being like, damn, that he posted my photo.
Well, if you're a contractor, I'd be like, or if you're a freelancer, you know, you get paid per photo, or you get paid per listing. So, I mean, if he was to take that and say you took that picture and sent it to LeBron, and he published it before you did, now you're not seeing anything from that. And, you know, you see it all the time where folks will take pictures or they'll screen grab stuff and try to portray it as their own. And they won't give credit to the actual photographer, the person that actually did capture the image in the first place. And, you know, it's kind of a give and take, just like it is with media and sports. The sports media needs the athlete in order to cover things, and the athlete needs the media in order to push their agendas or to, you know, get them coverage. So it's kind of a give and take. I hope that they work that situation out. Deshaun Watson found himself in a similar situation late last year, and there have been numerous cases of celebrities using photos on their social media accounts without permission and being sued because of it, because it is a business at the end of the day, and any content that these athletes use and want to leverage, the attention is going to be there, the companies are going to be there, and they're going to do the best that they can to take advantage of that. So, I mean, I'm not mad at Mitchell for trying it, but at the same time, like, just take another picture, bro. you know what I mean? Take another one.
I'm like, damn, Dre. Like, everything. I mean, did he win this suit?
Well, the decision hasn't been made yet. When it did go to court, the judge told them to settle it amongst themselves. So judgment should be coming any day now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's probably gonna be an out of court settlement because what people did notice is like that once the lawsuit came down, LeBron did indeed take the picture down. So that should be a telltale sign. If there was no smoke to it, he would have kept the picture up.
Absolutely. Well, hope it works out for him, because damn, that's crazy.
The G League has decided to use the NBA bubble in Orlando that was already in place from last playoffs for the 2021 season. So salute to the NBA for using their resources and continuing to create the bubble situation, putting safety first, but also trying to make sure that they use all of their resources. So shout out to the NBA for still continuing to be the trailblazer at the forefront of this coronavirus situation. Emerging entertainment and safety at the same time. So
yeah, shout out to them too, because they also with the G League are now allowing veteran players to play in the G League. So before, if you had already had 5 years of service in the NBA, you could not play in the G League. But now they've opened that up. So now players that have had 5 or more years of service in the NBA can come and play in the G League. So some of these players who are out of work right now, if they want to take that route of going into the G League and getting some rec in and hooping, or, you know, get picked up by one of these teams, they can do so. And I think that that's big, because some of these young players can learn from some of these vets if they do take that route.
Rest in peace to Paul Westphal, an NBA lifer and a mainstay in the 90s, most notably played for the Supersonics, and he was the coach of the 1993 Phoenix Suns, who took Michael Jordan to 6 games in the 1992-1993 NBA Finals.
Rest in peace.
Becky Hammon making history this week. She officially, after Coach Pop was ejected from the game as an assistant, or as the second assistant coach on the team, became the first female coach in the NBA, or the first female head coach in the league. So salute to Becky Hammon. We saw this coming a mile away.
Yep.
Obviously, they tried to, you know, try to instill Tim Duncan in the situation, and he realized coaching wasn't for him. So, I mean, there was no doubt about it at that point. It's going to be full speed ahead. Becky Hammon was probably going to be the first, if not one of the first, female head coaches in the NBA.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Becky. Yeah, man. She's not a stranger to this. She coached the Spurs Summer League team a few years back that won the championship in the Summer League. So she's primed and ready, and it's only a matter of time before she becomes a coach. So very, very big step in the game of basketball and in the NBA in general. Shout out to Becky Hammon. That's great.
Couple more quick hits. Josh Jacobs was arrested on a DUI, the Las Vegas Raiders running back. Las Vegas police confirmed he was charged with DUI on Monday after a car crash at McCarran Airport. I'm here to tell you, between Phoenix and Las Vegas, they got the most reckless driving situations in the country. I've seen trucks spin out, flip out, talking SUVs, coming out of the airport, bro. Driving on the West Coast is something else, I promise you.
Tell me, who you telling? Yeah, bro. Man, I hope everything's okay with that situation with Josh Jacobs. Not a position you want to be in, but, man, hey, you got a team in Vegas. All right. That's all I can say. You got a team in Vegas.
Straight up.
I mean, you got a team in Vegas, and they didn't win, and they're not in the playoffs. I'm not going to say what did you expect, but okay. That's it. All right.
Again, salute to Alabama's running back, Devontae Smith. He won the Heisman last night. The first Heisman wide receiver winner since Desmond Howard back in 1991. The NCAA.
That's huge.
Will hold the entirety of the men's 2021 basketball tournament. So March Madness will be entirely in Indianapolis, with most of the games taking place in Indianapolis. Obviously, the Final Four and the championship game will probably be in Lucas Oil Stadium. And then, last but not least, early entries, the finalists for the NFL 2021 Hall of Fame include some, not the biggest names in the world, but, you know, they should get in for what they did. A couple of guys: Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning, all three finalists for this year's upcoming Hall of Fame enshrinement. So
those are shoo-ins, bro. We'll see y'all, man. Congratulations, y'all getting in. That ain't
straight up and
question.
Down.
Come on, man.
So look, man, no sneaker rundown this week. Nothing really fire coming out this week. Did you get a chance to cop anything? You cop some brand new chocolatas out in Tulum?
Bro, my Tulum homie's gonna rough you up, bro. Stop talking about them, dude.
I'm right here, man. I'm not going nowhere, man.
Nah, man, I didn't cop nothing, but I sure destroyed a couple shoes walking around.
Nah, I bet.
So, gotta cop some new stuff. But so crazy, right? I had copped those. I told you a couple weeks ago, I copped those Joe Fresh Good Converse T-shirt.
Yeah, man, he's been the topic of conversation in my clubhouse rooms all weekend, boy.
He just, you know, just a great, he's just, his path, like, to branding and these partnerships that he's had with, you know, various companies have just been amazing. But, side note, I ordered the shoes. I'm like, yo, these shoes should get here before the new year, before I go on my trip.
Man,
and UPS had my shoes just sitting in that warehouse for like 2 weeks, bro. I know everybody been going through this, but I'm like tapping, like, you know, the tracking details, and they're like, yo, sorted at this facility. Sorted. I'm like, man, how much sorting y'all gonna do? So it got to the point where I didn't get my shoes, and then they almost sent them back, but I was luckily, yesterday I was able to get my way down there to the facility center and get my shoes. So, yeah, that's a win for me.
You know how they got the Siri, the lady that speak to you? I be thinking, like, if you had a FedEx update or, like, a UPS update, what if it sounded like Tracy Morgan? Like, yo, swear to God, son. Word is born, son. Your shoes is on the way. Yo, my mother, yo. Hey, yo, we had a little bit of a breaker. We had a little bit of a delay. But they're going to be there in a minute, yo. Just chill out, yo. Word, straight up, for sure, yo.
See, you giving away too many good ideas on the show, man. Save that IP, bro. Save that. We got to go pitch that to him.
All
right. That'll be dope as fuck.
So with no games, I mean, with no sneaker rundown this week, we're going to go right into the game show. And I believe it's on you, 2021. You kick it off, man. Let's get
it. Yes, sir. So new question going into the new year, man. NBA season just started. So we're centered around the NBA. I was doing some reading and stuff, and I was just coming across something. I'm like, oh, let me ask this question. You should know this. I hope you know it. The 1993 NBA draft, it held some significance, you know? Chris Webber was the number one pick of that draft. What team was he drafted to? And what team was he traded to? And what player did he get traded for during the clock?
That's it, huh? You ain't gonna tell me how many seconds, nothing.
Nah, you on the clock, bro. Go ahead, bro.
So anybody that knows me knows that I hate Chris Webber, dog.
That's a strong word.
I hate Chris Webber.
You're a Hall of Famer,
dog.
Bro.
So I do know that he was number one in 93 coming from Michigan. Mm-hmm. He was drafted by the Magic, if I'm not mistaken, because they wanted to put him with Shaq. But he ended up getting traded to the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And I believe he was traded to the Warriors after Shaq saw Penny Hardaway in Blue Chips and said, I gotta have him. We gotta have him right now. So I think it's Chris Webber for Penny Hardaway.
That was an easy one, bro. Congratulations.
2021 offense, starting it off with a bang, bang. Bang.
Yeah, man, I ain't wanna fluster you into 2021, man. We didn't had a hard 2020, man. I just want to, you know, ease us down the road into 2021. That was two actually of my favorite players to watch. Look, Chris Webber's commentating is one thing.
Abysmal.
It's one thing, but you can't deny he was a hooper. I love watching Chris Webber hoop, bro. He was one of the best power forwards I ever seen play the game. And, of course, Penny Hardaway there. I mean, that's without question. That was one of the best point guards to ever play. Injuries took both of their careers a little bit prematurely. But, you know, I think that trade worked out. Well, the trade worked out for the Magic in the meantime. And, you know, Chris Webber went on to have a great career.
Shout out. First shout out to 2021. I know you had a long time to think about it. You was remote for a while, man. So you want to salute some of the homies out there in Tulum. You want to salute Oscar and Osvaldo, Raul.
You wild,
Stefano,
bro.
What's up?
They're gonna have a word with you, bro. But quick shout out, man. Shout out to my sister Sadia, celebrating a birthday yesterday. January 5th is her birthday, but it's also a birthday and a Founders Day for the good brothers over at Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, man. So I want to shout out all the good brothers, all the good noobs, man. and Cap Office Style representing yesterday. You know, showing their appreciation. You know, shout out to the frat. You know, so nice. What they say, Chris? The frat so nice.
Frat so nice. You had to name it Twiz Ice.
Come on,
you
man.
Feel me?
Come on, man. Shout out to all the good brothers out there, man. That was celebrating J5 the right way and not the light way. So, you know, too many brothers to name. Too many brothers to name, man. But you know, we do it the right way.
Yeah, man. Well said, brother. Shout out to my boy MG and Shoddy over at the Defining Victories podcast that had me on as a guest last week. The episode just dropped today. Just chopping it up with some real sports heads, man. They kind of inspired me. They could wrap circles around any of these guys on TV pretending like they know basketball. So salute to MG and Shoddy. Also, shout out to What's the Word that had me on as a panelist for the 2020 Hip Hop Cultural Moments last week. To end out the year. So what up, Cindy? What up, Bree Specific? Y'all can check out on Power 92 every day. Cody over at What's the Word? What's up, Brody? Keep doing
what up, Cody?
We need your name in lights in the 2021. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
That's gonna be it for me, man. I gotta work out a longer shout out list next week, but we appreciate y'all tapping in with us, man. We back in it, back in full effect for 2021. We got some big surprises, big things are going. You feel me? So keep it locked. Make sure y'all rate, review, and subscribe. Y'all can catch us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If y'all looking to start a podcast, hit us up on Anchor. Hit us in the DMs. Hit us up in the clubhouse. You know, we dot connectors, waiters, valet parkers, airplane attendants, COVID testers, however they, you know what I'm saying, however they want to put it together. Check us out. We might have a play for you.
Yes, sir.
I hate when people say, I'm a dot connector. I'm a dot connector. That mean you ain't got no job.
Hey, man. Like, bro, what does that even mean? Like, there's so many people. Like, I haven't been on the clubhouse in a minute, but I see that it is now. It seems like it's kind of a little oversaturated.
It ain't the trap house. It's the cap house.
Yeah, man. And, like, I see a lot of cap going through there. Like, man, just be be wise as to who you listen to on there, man. Like, everybody ain't able on there, Joe. That's all I'm going to say. Everybody ain't doing what they say they doing on there, for real, man. It's the, you know, it's cap. I don't even know, the Cap Olympics.
Basically.
Yeah, man.
Y'all stay tuned to the NBA season. We're going to keep it locked. Until the next time, we'll get back at y'all again. Same bat time, same bat channel. We up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
What happened here was a miracle, and I want you to f***ing acknowledge it.
All right, it was a miracle. Can we go now? Can we go now?
Center.